You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, J.D. Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching-ish Fanboy Versus. I am your host, J.D., joined this week by Chris Triplett, who's there.
I'm here.
Chris McFeely, who's there.
My voice
and
is
Nicole
here.
Hale, who's over
oh,
there.
Oh, really?
So, yes. So, it is Fanboy Versus Video as, well, there's going to be a video version of the show. You'll see me moving. But due to video problems, thanks to Skype, we will not be able to see the rest of our crew. But we're very excited to have everybody back.
Yeah.
So we were here last week. I'm going to say thank you again to Matt, Time Lord, Timey, whatever name you know him as, for filling in on the show. And a big welcome back to Chris McFeely. We're so glad that you're back with us, sir.
Welcome back, sir.
Yeah, so. I want to say thanks to everybody who's been sending out the good wishes and everything as well. As I think you guys said it on the show last week. It's not a secret or anything. My father was taken ill, and that's just really what life has been all about for the last 2 or 3 weeks. But that's no point in answering. It's not a secret. He had a heart attack. But as of today, he has been moved out of the ICU and into coronary care. So we have made some big steps along the way this week. He woke up on Monday. He's had his assorted tubes out with every passing day, and as of today, they moved him out of the ICU as well. So every step this week has been a good one, and I am here now because things are a little better.
Awesome. Yay!
So thanks to everybody who has said a prayer or just kept him in their thoughts or sent a tweet or a Facebook message with well wishes. So yeah, thanks to everybody for that.
Awesome. We're just so glad and hope that things continue to just get better and better faster and faster. That'd be awesome. So so we're back. We have books that came out this week. I wouldn't say that there's
comic books, in fact.
I wouldn't say that there's more than a very few that we were terribly impressed by.
In fact, I
now realize that I don't even...
The ones I was impressed by, apparently, you didn't read.
Yeah, so there's not a lot of crossover. It's going to be an odd kind of week.
Out of the stack I read, I was impressed by 3. The other ones are like, I can't believe I spent the money on this.
Yeah, impressed wouldn't be... I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to talk about. Did I decide? I don't think I even decided. We'll figure it out as we get there. But let's talk about... News. Is there news?
There's a little news. I mean, I am so far out of following the news, so I don't even really know what you guys have reported on over the last couple of weeks or so. Like, have you talked about the few new Marvel Now books that we know were announced?
Not really, because I seriously floundered through the news last week.
Ah, well.
Man, you were pulling, too. You was looking for stuff. And you
I was
just...
trying, and I just don't know the good places to look, so...
Well, I guess let me just pull those up right now. One of them, anyway, that we know is the... Well, we remember the one-word teasers that we were talking about on the last show I was on.
Right, last month.
Yeah. Well, we know that the Killers teaser, which was by Daniel Way... sorry, not the Killers. Lightning. The Lightning teaser is Thunderbolts. Daniel Way and Steve Dillon on the Thunderbolts. But the Thunderbolts in question are not the characters you might imagine, and are in fact Elektra, Venom, Punisher, Deadpool, and they're going to be led by Red Hulk. So I guess that makes them the Thunderbolt apostrophe S.
Yes, yeah, and I do think that at least for one of these books, I don't think I was specifically talking about this one, but I did mention Deadpool and Punisher, so I was close.
Yeah,
I think I get like
we still seems
talked
like...
about Punisher being on a team.
I think the Killers, that one was the one I was like, it's got to be Punisher and Deadpool. But I was so I was right about the team up. I was just wrong about the team.
It's pretty much immensely retarded.
These
are not people who belong on teams, and especially not on a team together. And I'm also really, really annoyed that this means Daniel Way hasn't got his toxic claws out of Deadpool.
Yeah, and well, and we did talk about this last week in the sense that you know, this was, I think, another just tip of the scale for Rooka and Rooka leaving comics, because he was really pissed that
they did not
consult him. Or
consult
whatever.
Him, yeah. I mean, his Punisher's over anyway, but.
Well, he was
but his Punisher might not have been over, though, is the thing. It might have kept going if they hadn't done this.
Yeah, because his point was that his Punisher wouldn't be on a team.
No, yeah. God, no.
So,
God, no.
Yeah, so.
Let's see, what else did we have confirmation of? Cable and X-Force, which is by, is it Dennis? Yes, Dennis Hopeless and Salvador La Roca. I forget which one-word teaser this was, to be totally honest with you. But this is Forge, Domino, Colossus, Cable, and Dr. Nemesis of all characters as Cable and X-Force. Now, that does not mean, however, that Uncanny X-Force is going away, because it's not. It's coming back with a new number one, which is weird. But that
it's
is going
not
to be
the 1990s. You can't sell two X-Force comics.
But that is going to be written by Sam Humphries, who has been writing Ultimates, co-writing it with Jonathan Hickman, and is now solo writing the Ultimates, with art by Ron Garney. And that is apparently going to be primarily led by Psylocke, this book.
Oh.
So, yeah, again, you want to talk about the 90s.
It does seem
I've been waiting for that.
Man, I mean, what?
Psylocke, Storm, Puck, and Spiral.
Oh my god.
And the one tease then, I think that's all the teasers that we've heard, except for the one that we don't have the book for yet, which is, oh no, I tell a lie, oh for goodness sakes, no. Killers, the Killers teaser was what's happening next on Marvel Teen Scene. Now, did you guys talk about this one at all?
No.
Avengers Arena.
Oh, is that what the Killers is? Yes, okay.
This is the book that is notionally replacing Avengers Academy on the sheet, on the roster.
Gotcha.
Which is about various teenage characters from Academy, from Runaways, and various other places, and some new characters as well, being gathered by Arcade on Murder World, and basically doing the Hunger Games in an immensely obvious, we're not even trying to pretend it's not way.
Wow.
Yeah. So what you're saying is this is that crappy reboot of Thunderbolts, is what I was thinking.
Guide up.
So,
I mean, I'm not totally, like, rejecting it out of hand, but...
Really?
No, because Dennis Hopeless,
I mean,
you know, we've enjoyed his work before. Legion of Monsters, pretty good. Lots of characters that I like are going to be in the book. Not so thrilled about the possibility that in the book to be killed violently.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like that, though. That's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah,
it's like we've
I'm
just
not
spent
dismissing
all this
it out of hand, but it's the fact that the cover itself is a freaking battle royale homage cover, and I'm like, you're not even trying to pretend that this is just the basic idea that you're reinterpreting. You just say, "Remember that? Well, here it is with this."
Yeah, remember that thing you just saw that apparently you liked? Well,
here it is
with Marvel.
Again.
Yeah. It's just Marvel people. It's just Marvel people in a convenient way to kill off a bunch of extra characters that we don't know what to do with.
Leave my runaways alone.
Nope, they're all going to die.
So that's the other thing that's happening. And then the one book that we don't have the answer for yet is the Mysterious Superior teaser, which we have no creators attached to. Going hand in hand with that is the fact that in the December solicits, we've had confirmed that Captain America and Wolverine and Amazing Spider-Man with its 700th issue are all getting, you know, final issues.
Gone.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously Wolverine and Spider-Man, I think we can expect to be right back. No surprises there. Captain America, and that's probably that for that book, to be honest.
Yeah. It's going to be Wolverine and the Wolverines.
Yeah,
nice. Wolverine,
the Amazing Adventures of Wolverine.
Wolverine and Red Dawn.
Wolverine Sentai Wolverangers.
Okay, so I'm no longer going to have anything to the caliber of my Wolverine and the X-Men by Jason Aaron, right?
Oh, well, Wolverine and the X-Men is not going away.
It's not? Okay, I didn't hear.
No, it's still there.
I did see
Aaron's moving, though. He's doing what? Mighty Thor? Is he still going to be doing that book?
He's doing Mighty Thor, but I think he's coming off of Hulk in order to do Thor, and then he'll still be doing Wolverine and the X-Men.
I just assumed they were ending it, because I figured, post AVX, this book's got to be, like, dead, you know?
I did see Dan Slott tweet that he was going to be working on his Marvel Now project.
I cannot believe, we've said it a million times in this show before, I cannot believe Dan Slott would be giving up Spider-Man so soon.
I know, it just makes me sick.
700 an issue to go out on, I mean, that's a big number. So.
I mean, he keeps saying that he's doing something terrible. Like, he is going to do something with this that is going to piss off the universe. If Slott is not leaving, you know, if the creative team is not changing, that would make it the only Marvel Now book that is not changing up like that.
Right.
So this must be a pretty paradigm shattering change for Spider-Man.
I think he's going to die.
I'd be number one on it.
Shut up.
I don't know.
You think that's going to happen, and then Alpha's going to take his place, or
not after this week's issue of Spider-Man?
Nope. I haven't read it yet. Sorry.
Well,
but you know, that could potentially still happen.
Yeah. I mean,
Alpha's door is not completely closed.
Yeah, it's not. No.
But then we have this superior teaser, which we have no creators attached to, except for the tease that it's going to be written by the writer of the most controversial comic of 2012. Could that be Spider-Man 700? Based on the sheer level of controversy.
Yeah, and that would, you know, and they're being very, they have said virtually, well, the only thing Slott has really said about the upcoming, we know that 700 is going to be partial compilation. We know that there's going to be some sub-stories. Yeah. Because DeMatteis even wrote a part of it. But all we know is that he said that not enough people have bought 698. So apparently something really big is going to happen in 698.
I mean, he is hyping this to be colossal.
Right.
Whatever this is, like, this is the spider event of the 2000s.
I think he's going to die. I think he's going to die.
I don't know. I don't believe Dan Slott would do that.
I think he's going to kill him.
No, not necessarily Spidey die, but maybe a cast member
dies? I don't know. I just got... It's just like there's not enough talk about what's happening to Spider-Man. They've really talked about everything else, but they haven't talked... I mean, there's been so
really
hush-hush
sitting on it
about 700 and what's happening afterwards. And
they
it's like
sitting all night, son of a bitch.
I mean, and bravo to Marvel, because usually they spill the beans.
Don't worry,
know.
They'll spill it on the Monday before the comic comes out.
Yeah. That's
It'll be a news
God,
story.
God, I know, like, it'll
well,
be on
too. You can. I mean, I wish I was joking.
I know.
That is totally fucking happening.
Oh yeah, but. And
we'll
especially
to have that
people
route.
That have never read the comic book be upset. And
oh yeah, outrage.
All of a sudden everyone knows about Spider-Man.
I'm gonna be pissed if I wake up that morning and I read that Venom broke Batman, broke Spider-Man's back.
That would be odd. But no, I don't know. I've just I don't know. I got that Peter's gonna die feeling.
Well, okay. Stop. I don't.
Well, don't do that.
Yeah, that's
Peter's,
a horrible feeling to
Peter's
have.
Gonna die, and then Miles of the 616 is gonna become Spider-Man.
Well, hey, now
ending to Spider-Man?
Yeah,
it was last week. No, what a great ending that was.
I wouldn't be surprised if that comes back in 700, because where else would it? I mean, that would make perfect sense.
Spider-Man.
Oh my God! You know.
I don't know. I don't know, so we'll see. But, man, I got that Peter's going to die feeling.
Shut up.
I got that Peter's going to die feeling.
Dirty Peter Parker going to die.
He's going to die.
I got that Scarlet Spider's going to get canceled feeling, Jamie.
But he's not. He got. Isn't that confirmed? I thought that was confirmed now that is going on.
What?
Scarlet Spider, it's not been canceled.
Yeah.
Not yet. Yeah, at all.
Oh God, is Kane gonna become Spider-Man again, or are we gonna become Spider-Man? Jesus?
The Amazing Scarlet Spider.
Shut up, Jake. Shut up.
Dude, if you would just read Scarlet Spider and do like I tell you, it's good.
It's Scarlet Spider, like, you know, 12 years ago.
You don't... It's nothing like that. Oh, my God. It's nothing like that.
How about this? I'll read the last issue.
God.
It's not nice, is it, JD? No, it's not.
So what? How many things... No. Fuck you guys. How many times, how many books have I bought because you two motherfuckers told me it was good stuff?
And how many times were we right?
And how many times have you guys tried something that I told you was good?
Yeah, I know, but how many times are you
hey,
right?
Hey, Saga. Saga. No, you didn't say Saga. Never mind. Forget that.
Dear God, I hate you guys. So much.
So I hear that My Little Pony book is pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, yes. Who's ready for that? Yeah, I'm all about yes. that.
Oh man.
You can guarantee I'll be reviewing that.
Wow.
And you'll have to have like a whole other hour just for me.
Sweet.
Oh man. Is there any other news? Morrison,
coming back for Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes, well, nobody particularly surprised about that, but that's cool.
Well, they were talking like he had some sort of commitment, like where he might not. He'd be like...
I forgot. Andrew Garfield coming back was the not surprise. Yeah, Mark Webb.
Mark Webb, it seemed like he had like some sort of commitment.
Well, he's coming back. There was something else I was going to mention. What else?
Mark Miller is so excited. And four other people are as well, that he is going to be taking over the advisement, I guess, is his
position.
He's
a consultant for Fox on their upcoming X-Men and Fantastic Four films. And I'm
yes,
like,
which he knows nothing about. So
does that start with the sequel to First Class, I guess? Or
Yeah, and the rumors are that is going to be a Days of Future Past, yeah. Which, there was this weird news story I read where they were talking to Sir Patrick Stewart, and they were saying that I can't remember, maybe it was on Bleeding Cool or something, but the story I was reading seemed very confused. Like, either Patrick Stewart was confused about the question...
I could see Patrick Stewart being confused.
They were confused about what he was answering, but they were asking about, you know, the next X-Men film, if he was going to be in it. And he said yes, as well as, like, everybody else that had been in the prior X-Men films and, like, started naming people. And I'm like...
I suppose if it's going to be Days of Future Past, then... If you can get all the guys who played the older versions of the characters in the original films to come back and do them in the inevitable flash forwards to the future that Days of Future Past has to contain, more power.
Yeah,
that'd
but
be some expensive ass cameos.
Yeah, and it's just like I just don't like. I could see them doing that in some sort
Hugh Jackman even doing these days.
I would totally see that. Just see Hugh Jackman like burn to death by a sentinel.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman's easy to get though. I mean, he loves playing. He'll play Wolverine any chance.
Oh, did you see the photo?
Oh, that was another
Wolverine?
One. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Star
Wolverine. I haven't watched anything that man does.
Apparently, a 50-year-old man is doing looking awesome.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, he's not 50. Is he? He's like 40 something. I think.
40 something. Yeah, I think.
I don't
so.
Care. He's beautiful.
Holy damn.
Yeah, I know. I was like, man, I wish I could look like that at 50.
I wish I had that many veins in my arm.
Jeez. Can you imagine? But no, I mean, Hugh Jackman, no problem. They'll get him for that. But I don't know the rest. It just seems like the rest of those people are, well, I guess James Marsden is not busy.
Half of them are freaking dead anyway.
You know, yeah. James Marsden, I mean, I guess he could, you know, probably take a day off from Whataburger and come down and shoot some scenes and stuff, but yeah, I don't know. It just seemed really odd. Like I got the feeling that it's like there was some confusion as to what Patrick Stewart thought he was answering. I don't know. I don't. There's been no confirmation from the studio that they're getting all those people back. So I don't know. Unless they've got some kind of weird contract loophole where it's like, you know, they're contracted out for another reprisal or something. But
so the Fox Marvel movies are going to be featured with more assholes now, is basically what we're saying.
Oh, right.
That's the man's assholitude.
Right. Yes. All sorts of pompousness that you'll get to see now. Because, well, remember, let's see. So they're doing, was it Daredevil? It's Daredevil, X-Men, no, and...
They lost Daredevil.
They lost Daredevil.
Oh, we're not getting Daredevil.
No, they didn't.
Fantastic Four, they still have a hold of.
Fantastic Four. Well, remember, Miller's...
actually lost Daredevil yet, but they're not going to be able to get a film in production in time to...
Not to meet the deadline. Yeah.
So Miller had a run on X-Men.
Ultimate X-Men.
Ultimate X-Men.
And he had a run on...
Fantastic Four. Ultimate Fantastic Four.
No, he actually did.
Regular Fantastic Four. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
And it wasn't bad, to be fair. It was just a typical over-the-top schlock.
Gotcha.
But, which I'm not saying would necessarily be worse than the existing Fantastic Four films.
Yeah,
but,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who's excited about it. I think...
depiction of the Fantastic Four in this day and age where our films are the closest they've ever been to just having the characters and worlds and scenarios and stories just step off the comic page.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Miller does not seem like a step in that direction.
No. It's great for him.
Yeah, I mean, he needs the money.
You know. But,
what was the last thing he wrote? I haven't bought anything from Miller in years.
He's
now.
Kick-Ass...
Super Crooks, I think.
Kick-Ass 2, maybe?
Kick-Ass
3. Is that the last thing he did?
He did Super Crooks for Marvel as well, and he's got a few other things.
Superior? Because that wasn't Superior?
Superior was him, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Superior. Well, and I think there was some... That Marvel Now title, that Superior, I think some people were like, oh, Miller.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
no.
Everybody sort of did that, yeah.
God.
Speaking of Kick-Ass 2, actually, we've seen various set photos now from Kick-Ass 2 as well.
Oh, yeah, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey's going to be in it,
yeah.
Yes, I'm very happy.
And the funny thing is...
Remember him?
That strikes me as, tremendously good casting.
Yeah.
Because in all these films Jim Carrey's been doing in the last, memory... He's been playing these regular Joes who keep winding up in extreme situations. And the character that he's playing in this is it just feels like a really good fit, like a strangely good fit that I would never have considered. But when I heard it, I was like, yeah, actually, I can really see that. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'll go see that.
See, I don't.
I mean, I would have to imagine it's going to be quite different or toned down from the comic book, because even though that character's in the comic and everything, he doesn't meet a very nice fit in the comic, and it's worse than anything you saw in the first Kick-Ass movie.
Oh, really?
Really? Like what?
I didn't read Kick-Ass 2. It completely flew over my head. I saw nothing. Like, Kick-Ass was everywhere, and you couldn't avoid it. And Kick-Ass 2, it's like. Nobody said anything about it. It was literally on the shelf, and I totally missed it and didn't even know it was out.
Well, it got terribly rapey around the middle, so they're going to...
Oh.
Really?
That's not good.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, the basic story of Kick-Ass 2 is just, Red Mist actually becomes a supervillain and forms a supervillain team and takes revenge on Kick-Ass by introducing supervillains to the world. But, his hilarious teenage boy supervillain name is The Motherfucker. So I don't imagine that's what he'll be called in the film either.
Wow.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's your Kick-Ass 2 summation.
I still haven't seen... Right. Yeah, wow. I still haven't seen Kick-Ass, actually, or read it.
I enjoyed Kick-Ass quite a lot.
It's in the Netflix.
The comic was okay, and the movie was, good. I enjoyed it.
I was talking about the film, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed the film. I own the graphic novel.
Any other news?
I'm not surprised. What graphic novels don't you own? I've seen that collection.
No, I don't own very many graphic novels.
Just
comparatively speaking.
Compared to what, a library?
I know, it's just we all know you're lying, McFeely. You're a bad liar. You're a bad, bad liar.
Compared to a bookstore or library of
Amazon.
Congress.
Yes.
Really?
No, it's not that bad, but I have several I haven't read either. So, any other news?
Yeah, there's one other bit of news, which is the first piece of sadly ironic news that I have to report, given recent events in my life, which is Stan Lee is at the moment recovering from pacemaker surgery.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah, there was, well...
I only heard about it earlier this week. I wasn't sure if it had been announced this week.
There was, well, okay, what had happened...
We know that Stan Lee, it was announced that something had happened.
Right, and we didn't know what.
It was confirmed this week that it was pacemaker surgery.
He's still tweeting away, so I think...
Yes, you know,
so
he's I don't think, you know, the apocalypse would stop that.
This is true. and by apocalypse, you mean, like, the character... coming
and insolent mortal. I am far beyond Facebook as Google Plus is beyond you.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
God, why is it that I always think of that quote whenever I think of apocalypse from like the X-Men?
I know.
That's the only thing I can think of apocalypse.
I am as far beyond mutants as they are beyond you.
So pacemaker. Yeah, no, last week there was a deal where like they had to cancel an appearance, and of course that sent out, you know, rumor waves because it was something serious or something that they said was the only reasoning they gave. But yeah, so now we know, and there you go. But like you said, the old
thankfully,
man,
you know, he's recovering well, and he's 89 years of age.
So, yeah,
you know, keep well, Stan. Get better soon.
Yeah. It was also
his address posted on the Pi Entertainment website reads as thus: "Attention troops, this is a dispatch sent from your beloved Generalissimo, directly from the center of Hollywood's combat zone. Now hear this: your leader hath not deserted thee. In an effort to be more like my fellow Avenger Tony Stark, I have an electronic pacemaker placed near my heart to ensure that I'll be able to lead thee for another 90 years. But fear thee not, my valiant warriors. I am in constant touch with our commanders in the field, and victory shall soon be ours. Now I must end this dispatch and join my troops, for an army without a leader is like a day without a cameo. Excelsior!"
Okay, I totally want Stan Lee to be in a suit of armor in Iron Man 3. Make it happen.
I mean, the dude is just... he's an institution. I mean, beyond anything that he's done in comics, you know, now, like in his life now, it's like he's fully embraced this idea that he's more of a symbol than anything. You know, he's a symbol of, you know, the high time of.
He's repurposed that, like, Barnum and Bailey style carnival barking style of motion that he applied to Marvel Comics to just like everything he does in his life.
Yes.
And I'm like, is it any wonder that he made all the money and Jack Kirby died in poverty?
Did you see the video from Alan Moore? Alan Moore amazingly went to a comic convention of some sort.
No, he didn't. That's a lie. It was Photoshop.
It wasn't real. It was an animatronic Alan Moore.
Yes.
It was just like the Abraham Lincoln at Disney
First
World.
First tire tread on dog's stomach. The sex to foam up around their waist.
Oh, but did you see the video I'm talking about?
I haven't heard about this.
It was interesting. Someone asked him about, I don't know, something about the early days of comics or Jack Kirby or something. And he went on this, like, for Alan Moore, pretty sedate, but tirade nonetheless, talking about how, basically how awful Stan Lee is. Because, like...
regularly pray to Snake Jesus that he will die of plague.
he was like Stan Lee had said something about how him and Kirby created Captain America, and he's like, no, he didn't. He was 12 at the time. And it was interesting.
He did write some of the very, very earliest Captain America stories when he was like a scrawny teenager. That's not untrue. He didn't create him.
Right.
He started very, very young, didn't he?
I mean, well,
he
was like... And
the first one to write a story where Captain America threw his shield, and it was a prose story that he wrote in a very early issue of Captain America when he was like 14 or something.
Well, and Moore tried to make what Moore eventually came around to trying to say was that really all Stan Lee did was come in and put a couple of these and thous and kind of come up with like the Marvel language, and that's really all Stan Lee ever did. He didn't really write anything good or come up with anything good. That was all Kirby.
Like, and there's an element of truth to it. Like by the end of like his regular contributions, or at the high point of the 60s, like, yeah, he was just dialoguing the plots that Ditko and Kirby were laying out in their artwork. This is not untrue.
But that's the Marvel method anyway.
I mean, the Marvel method is that the author gives the artist the outline. They're like a page-by-page breakdown of what should basically be happening, and then the artist goes away and stages it, if you will, and then the writer comes back and puts the dialogue in. But, like, I mean, and while that's how the Lee and Ditko and Lee and Kirby were believed to work, like, at the very start, like, by the height of it, whenever Marvel was really taking off, it was basically the equivalent of a post-it note saying, Jack, please make it about Diablo this week. And then Jack would go and write 22 pages based on that.
Right, and then he would go back in and write the dialogue in.
I freely admit, by the way, to ripping that joke off from the House to Astonish podcast.
Awesome.
Hell yes, it's going to be about Diablo. It should always be about Diablo.
Not nearly enough Diablo in Jonathan Hickman's run.
No, there's not.
God. Yeah. Anyway, and in a side note, that reminds me that there was an interesting debate among writers a couple of weeks ago about Marvel method versus other methods of writing. That's one of the neat things I like as a side note about Twitter and following, you know, as many like creators as you can, because you kind of like get to be a fly on the wall of like some interesting conversations, as you see like Dan Slott and Gail Simone and Scott Snyder and Kurt Busiek and a couple other people, like, you know, having this like Twitter conversation about different methods of writing and pros and cons and stuff. But anyway, other news, were that
I believe that is everything.
We've reached the end. Okay.
Well, God, there was more news than I thought.
Yeah.
Make up for the lack of having a book to talk about at the end of the show.
Yeah, and well, it's a couple of things where it's like we didn't have quality news and we missed out. There's just a lot of things to kind of catch up on. So yeah, that makes up for the fact that we can't pick a book for the end of the show. So I don't even know that I solidly picked a book, so I'll probably just pull something from something that hasn't been talked about when I get to me, because I already know what Chris McFeely is doing. So, all right, start us out then, Chris Triplett.
Awesome. Yeah, if we were picking a book, I think that book should be Journey into Mystery number 644. But I'm not going to talk about this book because some people on the podcast haven't read it, and I'm very disappointed in those people. But it was good. So if I could recommend it, I would recommend it. It was good. Be reading this because it will bring a tear to your eye because it's coming to an end. Everything burns.
I said this before the show, but it's like Everything Burns is so good, and it's not really a crossover between Journey into Mystery and Thor, but it's more like it's a Journey into Mystery story that is just so big that Thor can't not be pulled into the orbit of its events.
Even though he's not really in it that much, like
last week's issue of Thor, like Thor wasn't really in it. He was burning in a pit for two.
It was like, here's some story stuff. Here's Loki doing some stuff. Here's Loki running around. Here's a page of Thor burning, and then like switch back to Loki for the rest of the issue.
And it's like Loki, he's not really in this one either. No, yeah, Thor's at like the first and last page of this issue of Journey into Mystery as well. It's just about managing to pretend that it's a crossover. I mean, the nature of the story, which is to say, Surtur comes back, kicks everybody's ass, is the sort of story Thor should be involved in. But it's like, everything in this, without spoilers, just to say that everything in this goes back to the very start of Journey into Mystery, and to all the stuff that we have had in Journey into Mystery since then. Thorie! Oh my God!
Yeah.
What? No! How? Why? Jesus! Why? Jeez, yeah. Why?
Wait, I haven't read it yet. Don't tell
I don't
me
know why I haven't specifically stipulated what happened, because what you're thinking isn't what happened.
Yes, you don't know what has happened, but dude, Thori, oh my god.
Oh my god, so many
is
feelings.
This, wait, is this another one I had to read by myself?
Oh god, yeah, you're not going to be reading this on the bus. Don't read this shit on the bus.
Wow.
Oh, damn. If something happens to that dog, I'll be crying.
Every single issue of this crossover has just left you going, what?
Yeah.
When you get to, I mean, a couple of issues back, we talked about, we didn't tell you what the what ending of the issue of Thor was like a month ago, okay? And I think we can probably tell you that now.
I think we could spoil that now.
Which was that at the end of that issue of Thor, like the mask of Surtur's Herald, who had been like his agent amongst the Vanir, came off, and it was an adult Leia.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Whoa.
What the hell?
Yeah.
But then it, because Leia had just ceased to exist a couple of issues previously, but then the next issue, it turned out this was not Leia. This was the fictional version of Leia that Loki had written into the Serpent's history at the end of the Fear Itself storyline, using the Shadow of Twilight to alter the Serpent's history to make him fragile and vulnerable to defeat. And this fictional creation, being the whole nature of Journey to the Mystery about the power of how stories are real and stories shape the world, like, she, by the act of him writing her into the story, she became a real being with no future defined for herself, and she hated Loki for doing that to her, and so she teamed up with Surtur to get revenge!
That's awesome!
What the fuck?!
It's so great. You have to literally read every single sentence of Journey into Mystery. Everything is important. Oh my god.
Such a good book.
It's sad this awesome. Is coming to an end. Very, very sad.
Yeah. So, like, get caught up! Because I think, what, next week is next week the last issue?
No, sadly, we have to wait like another 2 or 3 weeks for the final part of Everything Burns in Thor. And then we get the last issue of Journey into Mystery.
Okay. Well, now,
because we've had a chapter of Everything Burns every week this month.
Yeah, this is notice. Everybody has to get caught up, because we have to talk about the last issue when it hits.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Well,
yes.
Y'all can talk about it.
Yeah.
But that's not what I was going to recommend. I just wanted to put it out there. Journey.
You
awesome.
Can recommend
Journey
it. That was
awesome.
That's easy.
I'm recommending.
I think
it.
You just did.
I just did. I recommend it wholeheartedly. But like the other book I'm recommending, just real quick, is Punisher number 16, because I have loved this book. It's been so good, and I'm sad to see it go. And this is it. 16's the last issue, because there's only like 3 issues for that mini series. But this is like it for the actual series. Is it five? Okay. This is it for the series, though. So it's more like, you know, this is it. You know, book's gone. And,
this is the end of the whole story.
Yeah. And I think what Warzone is going to be the whole Avenger thing. Is that what it's about?
Yeah, Punisher goes after the Avengers for some reason. But Rucka is writing that, and Trichetto is drawing it. So it is going to be the final act of his Punisher.
Yeah, but like, everything has come to the head in this issue. There was just basically the bad guys were taken care of in the last issue. The people that, you know, what's her name? Owls? Cole Owls?
Rachel.
Rachel basically had blamed these people. She's taken them out. But in the process, the cop that's been working with Frank, Detective Bolt, was killed. And now she has sort of become like the thing that the Punisher hunts. And it's you know, is he going to kill her? You know, is this like the case where, you know, this lady, this one person, they can kind of understand how Frank Castle feels and does basically the same. She basically is Punisher Girl. I haven't called her Punisher Girl, but she's basically or Punisher Lady. Let's call her Punisher Lady.
Or how about Lady Punisher?
Lady Punisher. I like how we shop worked that. That's good.
Lady Punisher.
There you go.
That sounds a little brutal.
Yeah.
She's basically, you know, become something that he would have to hunt. And she even says at one point in the issue, she says, I thought it could be like you, be precise and cold and dead and pure like you, but no one can be like you. And then, he turned the page and he's like pointing a gun at her. And he says, no one should be like me. And she says, you have to kill me. And he asks, are you asking me to? She doesn't answer him. So he's just got, like, cool shit like that going on in the issue. And I'm not going to, like, spoil what happens at the end of it, but things get tense at the end of the issue where she they decide that, you know, they need to split up because the cops are coming for them. She goes to basically a park that involves snipers, and her pointing the gun at one of the detectives that's been a main character in the issue. So I ain't going to tell you if she dies or not, but it's great issue. Great series. I mean, really, if you guys haven't been reading this, get the trades of this. This would be an excellent, like, Sunday evening buying, like, the trades and reading, like, two or three trades of The Punisher, because it's been very good.
Sweet.
Nice.
That's it?
And then no more, and yeah, because then you're going to get no more Rooka, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no more Rooka. I mean, like, because no more Rooka, no more Punisher for me. Don't
Never.
Want
her.
Never again.
Never. No one can. Okay. Nicole?
Well, it's no surprise what I'm going to review.
Ninja Turtles. Is that what it is?
I was going to review Aquaman just so I could hear Big Feely go on a rant again.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was pre-show stuff, kids. If you weren't here, no, wait, that wasn't even.
It wasn't even. Broadcast. Yeah, it wasn't even broadcast. You just missed out.
Ivan Rice needs to experiment with new layouts.
Yeah, you heard it here first. McFeely hates, you know, that guy that draws off.
Oh, man, I wish I could hate him. It's so different because he draws such nice. He's such a nice drawing pencil type man. But
this is a layout thing. Is what you're saying? Yeah.
True way to lay your bastarding panels out.
You know, I mean, but that's an important thing too. I mean, that's
it is a massively important thing. If it's not widescreen panels going from top to bottom on the page, or full splash pages, it's just rigid grid structures. Your fucking my. Cargo ship is bearing down.
Go look at some J.H. Williams stuff and just, you know, just try to absorb a little bit.
You're asking him to be J.H. Williams. Can't you just lower the bar just a little bit?
I'm just saying for, like, inspiration, you know. I think that's good for inspiration. Yeah. Not saying he has to be J.H. Williams. I'm just saying look at it and say, look at the possibilities, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a whole world out there, kids, you know.
Under the sea.
Downward, take it from me. Okay. I'm sorry, Nicole, you were talking about turtles.
I was, because the cartoon came
because
out.
Because you can't help it?
Dude, I watched that show, and, like, I'd already read the Turtles comic, but I went back and read it again. It's like, in my head, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, my G.
Heroes in a Half Show. I'm on a bad Turtles kick lately, I swear. I've pre-ordered the complete box set of the 80s cartoon.
Which you should. Awesome.
I want that so bad. I'm thinking
about it. But it's like,
I
know it's tremendously goofy shit, and I have not the time or the wherewithal to endure 193 episodes of it for £60. It's a friggin' bargain. But it comes in a turtle mask. And I'm in a really turtly sort of place at the minute. I don't know why exactly.
There's nothing wrong with being a turtle.
Well,
fan.
No, actually, no. That's a lie. I do know exactly why. It's after meeting Townsend Coleman at Auto Assembly.
Oh yeah,
all turtle weird. Yeah. But I'll
you
just.
Know,
I'll...
I was scared for this new Mikey on the TV show. Good feeling, he's buddy. Awesome. New Mikey is awesome.
I like him. It's like Greg, this is goofy. Really good. The show's, like, goofy, like almost like, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man goofy, but, like, at least it knows how to rein it back a little bit so that there's still a little serious.
Yeah, it's like, not, like, there's plenty of goofy stuff in there, but there is the obvious notion that it's going to get, it can be darker and action-packed and, like, exciting and not, like, goofy exciting. Like, there's plenty of room for it to be. Have serious stories and everything in it as well, which Ultimate Spider-Man just can't seem to do at all.
No, I have completely written off Ultimate Spider-Man. I didn't even watch it today. Like, done.
Oh, I gave up ages ago.
The thing is, I've stuck out longer than most people, and even I, who can stand the worst cartoon crap, is just like, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore.
It's like, they have found a Spider-Man that even I can't love. What is wrong?
That's pretty bad. That is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Getting another series. Season, sorry, another season of it. Sorry, I went all UK. I went all UK-ish there for a second. Sorry, sorry, everybody. Sorry.
So, the awesome part is we were just all like, we just waited. We just waited for the explanation.
How awesome is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics? How awesome is it? Tell me.
The Turtle comic is probably is still my favorite thing I'm reading. I've yet to be disappointed in it. And this comic right here, this particular one, I was really worried about Splinter. I'm like,
I know,
he's lost his shit.
I took a look at the first couple of pages of this one to see what you were talking about at the end of the last one.
Yeah, I was just like, Splinter's lost it. He's gone off the deep end. This guy is ball to the wall. It's crazy. But he did all of this to teach a lesson. And I was just like, wow. He went to the ultimate extreme to teach Raph a lesson. Guess what? Raph probably learned from it. So...
I mean, like, he's like reincarnated from like a hardcore ninja from like the olden times. Of course, he might kill this guy. That might be something this Splinter might do.
Yeah, I mean... well, that's the thing. I honestly thought we're going to see some major damage here. But the surprising thing with Splinter is, after he teaches Raph the lesson, what he goes back and tells everyone else. I can't really tell you what it is because that's a kind of a spoiler. But he tells the rest of the crowd, the rest of the crew, what they need to do. And I was just like, wow. Huh?
The rest of the gang. The guy. Yeah, the gang. As I believe the 80s cartoon chose to collectively refer to them. The guys.
The guys. Yeah. So, but besides that, besides the whole Splinter and his family, this could actually be a Krang spotlight. This tells about Krang's background, his previous planet, why they're here, what's going on. So it's kind of like his little spotlight, or the micro series as they're there's so it definitely you get a feel for who Krang is.
Now would be a good time to do one of those too, because of how much, like you were saying, like they were talking about in this issue, you could be like, this is the start, and then boom, micro series Krang, mm-hmm. the lost story or something.
I haven't seen any announcements for any more micro series, which is sad because I love the micro series. So.
Yeah, they were pretty good.
Yeah, and then probably the biggest shocker is who Shredder has chosen as his second in command.
Oh, you don't want to spoil that.
No, I'm not spoiling that. It's just like, oh, damn, this is going to get good. Yeah. Better than before. Because I'm wondering how he's going to pull this off. You guys just should be reading this. It's so good from page to page. And it's, just
it,
like...
it's cool. And I think that there's like a good reason to read it because it's different from the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when I picked it up, my thoughts were, like, so, like, they're starting this before the new cartoon. Is this supposed to be a lead-in to it? Is the cartoon going to kind of, like, you build on this story? But no, it's, like, its own separate thing.
It's own, yeah.
You're getting, like, this is your kind of more Mirage-ish kind of Turtles comic and more kind of a darker edge to it. And then you're going to get your more fun show with the animated series. So it's cool. It's a good time to be a Turtles fan.
I think I said it before one time when you were talking about Turtles before, but it's kind of it's weird how the Turtles is kind of in a weird place right now, because prior to this, you know, there was the Mirage comics and there was the 80s cartoon, and everything that's come out since then has basically used those or some extrapolation of them as their basis. You know, the live action films are just the Mirage comics world expanded. The 2000 show is, again, it's mostly the Mirage comics with some ideas and sensibilities of the cartoon brought in together. You know, most of it's just the Mirage origin, and everything extrapolates from there. And then the 80s cartoon is also a thing that exists. And that's been it for the Turtles ever since. And then suddenly, like, within the span of a year, when Turtles is brought back, we have these two, like, brand new origins and worlds and depictions of the characters that are... like, oh, nothing to the Mirage comics. But not nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like
from the Mirage origin, but it's still, you can see where they drew some.
It's
some
like,
of
it
the
does
comic.
Not give one single fuck. It is not interested in being like trying to find ways to just put new spins on the old Turtles characters the way that every version of the Turtle origin we've had since the with the exception of the 80s cartoon, has worked. It's just, it's taken the Mirage comics and built on them, whereas this is just like completely different, like completely different.
Uh-huh.
And like really refreshingly as well is that it's not like shy about using stuff from the 80s cartoon too. I like that. You know, I mean, I think the 80s cartoon is tremendously goofy, and I still really don't know why I bought a box set of it, but I have.
And you'll watch it and you'll realize
fucking right, I'll be watching it.
You'll watch the intro at least.
That box set is essentially to me going to be the complete adventures of Baxter Stockman and 187 other episodes.
Well, if you're like a Stockman, you would like this issue because
is Stockman a giant mutant fly?
Not yet.
Not yet.
And I don't give a shit. Okay.
Not yet. Not
well,
yet.
That happens. Okay. If that happens, I will be all about that shit because Baxter Stockman the Fly is like the greatest cartoon character ever. Okay, you guys, for real.
The thing is, he's making alliances with Krang right now.
Yeah,
so.
I did see that. I did leaf the issue, and I'm like, if Stockman, and it's like it's got the. I know this issue has we've had the neutrinos appear already. Nobody likes the fucking neutrinos. You know, they're shit. But they were not afraid to put them in the comic and find a good use for them. And the way they tied that all in with the Fugitoid and his like micro series was really clever, I thought. And they're just not afraid to bring in like things from the cartoon where a lot of other Turtles interpretations have been. It's like the live action films. It's like, you got Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, Shredder gets a scientist to mutate two animals to give him mutant henchmen. And it's not Baxter Stockman, Bebop, and Rocksteady. You know, you're kind of looking at that as a kid, and you're going, why is it not? And then you get the 2003 cartoon, and it's like, it doesn't want to bring in any of the characters from the cartoon either. It's like, the cartoon is kind of, like, it is second only to Venus de Milo as kind of like the red-headed stepchild of the franchise that nobody wants
to admit. God, I was hoping we could get through this conversation without referencing that.
But it's like, it's the thing that nobody wants to admit that they're going to draw ideas from, so I really like the way the IDW comic has just been very unapologetic about pulling things from every corner of Turtle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it, like I said. I can't wait to see the war that's going to go on in the next few issues, because it's going down.
So who thinks, like, in the new cartoon that Splinter's, like, dead baby girl is going to come back and it'll turn out it was Karai all along?
I was going to say.
That's what I'm thinking.
I was thinking that, too. Spoiler, people!
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoiler for, like, 6 years from now or something.
Wow.
No, I'm loving the cartoon. I can't wait for next week. Yay.
I will actively look forward to more of that.
Mikey turned out to be my favorite character from this cartoon.
Cool.
Oh, such a tool, but I love him. And that's my review.
Okay.
Go get it, people. It's awesome. Yes, you should be reading it. If you guys aren't reading it, I'll just talk about it all the time.
I haven't managed to get the graphic novel you sent me read yet, but I am looking forward to it.
Oh, and speaking of Turtles, right now, if the sale hasn't ended on Comixology, they're 50% off for the IDW book.
There you go.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, good time to try it out if you just want to try it out. Comixology, do it.
Now, wait, McFeely, is it the UK that can't download IDW anymore?
You know what? I don't honestly know because
I've heard that.
Give a fuck. I think the UK, I think it was actually amended for the UK that at least the UK it can.
Okay,
I'm not sure about other areas of Europe, but I think the UK can.
Okay. Hope so.
But I don't really care. Sorry to everybody who gets their stuff digitally, I don't care. Like a friend.
Well, because I mean,
personally,
that's your
not
business.
Really interested.
Yeah, I mean, you know. You have
the Dead Tree version's your business, so I understand for sure.
True. Just saying, if you can't get it, you know that's a good way to get it.
All right. Let's see. Well, because everything else I don't care about, or you know, we talked a lot about More Than Meets the Eye last week with the annual, and that was like a close call. I almost talked about that, which is really good. You should buy it just anyway. Because
the annual
was
good.
But issue 9 was good as well. It's kind of starting a new story arc. They're doing an interesting thing. hopefully bringing Rung back.
That would be cool.
That would be
there could be no
sweet. So anyway, I'm going to talk about Captain Marvel, and I think that it's
yeah,
great.
My pile of stuff I thought we'd never talk about.
Well,
yeah,
and
I'm surprised you guys are still buying it. I'm still getting it, but I didn't know if you guys had dropped it.
It's not on my. It's not on my.
Get it? I'm giving it until the end of the first story arc, and we'll see.
Well, this is definitely this issue is where I went. Oh.
Yeah. I did pick it up because I already had $80 worth of comics to pick up.
Oh, this is getting interesting now.
Yeah. It turned into something that's not a straight up time travel story.
Yes. So, I mean, this issue is interesting. I mean, you definitely, the art is growing on me a lot.
The art is being saved by the fact it's well suited to the time period that these issues are set in. And it's also much brighter, this issue.
Yes. I mean,
I still think that it is not well suited to the type.
Yeah, I still, for some reason, get a Jay Lee feeling out of the art, and that doesn't make me think Captain Marvel for some reason.
I'll use the term balanced for some of the stuff. I think that there's a good balance of both light and dark, which I think is ideal. This issue goes a long way to... first of all, it's just, Captain Marvel being badass in the one part, but I think it goes a long way to explaining, one of our questions early on had been about the Banshees. Like, it seemed kind of odd that there was this group of fighting women, and they kind of explain where they came from and how they ended up to be where they were, which is what really kind of sparks off what I would consider to be like the second act of this whole story of how this all came to be, which doesn't really answer the question. It just kind of furthers it into the direction that it's going. Mm. So, for the direction the story is going. So it definitely took a nice, interesting twist at the end as well. That I wouldn't say was unexpected based on some of the setup. Like, once you see
you knew where that page was going. Yeah.
But it's definitely going to be interesting to see how the rest of this plays out. But it's definitely a book that I'm enjoying reading, and I'm not, I haven't gotten a new pull sheet, so it's not on my pull list, but it definitely is like, ooh, yay, Captain Marvel.
Well, it's not making me go, ooh, but it's getting until the end of the first arc, at least.
Yeah, I think I'm going to keep it for a while, because
I want to like it. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to like it, too.
I'm just liking it. I do like it.
That's good.
I need more books that star ladies. I don't have many books.
I don't want to think that is like the one reason I'm keeping it on my list. You know, I don't think it does it any kind of a service to just buy it because of that. Even though I feel the same, like I would like to have more books with female creators and starring female creators on them. But I don't think it.
Well, aren't you guys still getting Batgirl? There you go.
I still get Batgirl.
No.
Yeah.
No, I dropped Batgirl.
I think Batgirl's it for me. It's like Batgirl and it's Captain Marvel.
But I dropped Batgirl. But, I mean, and we've talked about that, that the issue with Batgirl has nothing to do with Gail Simone, and it has nothing to do with Batgirl. It's DC. And, it's just what they've – it's just how that editorially came together and what they've, I don't know. We talked a lot, and you missed out, Chris Mafilio, last week when we talked extensively about what the hell is going on at editorial at Marvel, or not Marvel, at DC, and just what a train wreck it is, and talking in the sense of like Rob Liefeld, and he kind of stormed out, but on the other hand, it's like zero issues made it painfully obvious that editorially DC is walking in the darkness. I mean, they really have no idea what they're doing. They have created a brand new world, and they have no idea how to navigate through it. They're not communicating with each other, book to book, title to title, family to family.
I wonder if they had this problem back during Crisis on Infinite Earths. Can anybody?
Oh, they did. Yeah. Hawkman was a fucking mess for years afterwards. And they did not have that stuff lined up. I mean, come the very end of the actual Crisis on Infinite Earths miniseries, it's like characters like Huntress and people who have carried over from the worlds that don't exist anymore remembered everything from before the Crisis and the way it was, and then they just didn't anymore.
Yeah,
so I guess, like, it needs another year to get used to where it's going. Will it make it?
I don't know. I mean, we're out a full year now, and the zero. I mean, to me, it's like the point of the zero issues would have been to clear up some of this, and in some senses, the zero issues.
Like, it seems like they're actively avoiding. Addressing issues that they could have been clearing up. Why do we not know why Barbara Gordon can walk again?
I mean, all that we have known, all that we were told, is that she went to some doctor and poof, she can walk again.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. They haven't given any clear indication one way or another if she was Oracle. They've done all of this mess with the Robins. I mean, now Red Robin was just Red Robin. He wasn't a Robin, but he was a Robin.
He was always that sidekick. It's like Tim Drake was never Robin. He was just Batman's sidekick, and he just had Robin in his name. It's like, stop making mountains out of molehills. He was a Robin, just had Red in his name.
Just call him Robin.
I don't understand why on earth they have done that. I don't understand why he was always Red Robin. I don't understand why he couldn't have just been Robin. But I also don't understand why it's a big fucking deal.
Well, I think the deal. Well, some of it is the time. Like, I don't know if they're trying to save, like, some of the timeline. Like, for the time, like, are they trying to say that it was just him at the time, or was Jason around too, or, you know, it just doesn't, they have the time all screwed up. They've shoved way too much shit into 5 years.
I think,
drop this 5 year number.
I think what really matters is 13. Those 13 issues, they need to start wowing people, because if 13 doesn't wow somebody, I'm going to be dropping some DC books, honestly.
Anyway, that's why the Batgirl thing is just I don't know. It like I said, it's just suffering from editorial problems, which is, like I said, the thing of a lot of the books. There's just no communication, consistency, stories aren't straight all over the place. And, you know, I can understand why Rob Liefeld would be, you know, frustrated. They've got him writing or drawing like 5 different books, and of which Deathstroke is in like 3 of them. And there he's got 3 different editors telling him to do 3 different things with the same character.
Stop defending Rob Liefeld, dude.
Well, I'm not saying that he's
no,
not.
No, that was defense of Rob Liefeld. That is an indefensible act in and of itself. Get out. Get the fuck
it's
out.
It's my show! Not defending Rob Liefeld. He can't
That's
draw
what
feet.
It sounded
that
like to me, you
he can't,
socialist.
He
You know, it's okay if you defend Levi's jeans, but you can't defend Rob Liefeld.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying he can draw feet or write an original story, Deathstroke Zero, but, you know, he took some shit for that, too. He tried to defend himself. I'm like, do you not understand the difference between homage and just stealing shit? Like, there's a, you know? He's like, well, Zero Issue was supposed to be Death. Did you hear about this? You know what I'm talking about?
I didn't actually even look side at it, because why on earth would I?
Well, I know, but I thought you might have heard it on some news source or something. Bleeding Cool typically does their, like, a deal where they put stuff side by side and say, hey, look how these look similar.
Oh, yeah, and, okay, the swipe file, yeah.
Yeah, the swipe file. And a lot of times it's just, like, homage, and you're like, okay, it's an homage, cool. But for Liefeld's Zero Issue of Deathstroke, he basically just retold, like, Deathstroke's origin from, like, Teen Titans and a couple of other issues. Like, literally, nice. Panel by panel. Like,
would that
like,
have been, like, George Perez that would have done that origin, too?
Yes, like it was.
Then he should have just reprinted the George Perez story.
Well, and that's why, and Liefeld was trying to say that. It was like, he was like, well, that's his origin. I told his origin. Like, I don't think that's how that's supposed to work. Let me see if I can, I'll find this for you to show you real quick. But that was his defense. He was like, look, they told me to tell the origin. I told the origin. That's his origin, so I just told it. Like, okay, so basically you just did no work whatsoever. You just took the story full on. I mean, even some of the dialogue is the same. There's a link to the swipe file from it for those of you in my Skype, which is them. Otherwise, you could just do a search and probably find it. But it's pretty amazing because it is a good portion of the book. I mean,
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, look at that. Color by color. I mean, page by page almost. It's just like...
ridiculous,
isn't it?
Oh my god,
yeah,
this is not, you know, listen to, I mean, he
yeah, I mean, it's not, I mean, it is beyond homage, you know. An homage would be like slightly referential, you know, like, you know, maybe someone's wearing the same shirt, you know, in another panel, but this is almost tracing. Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was funny. So, does that make up?
Oh, it's not the same. He's got a beard here. He didn't have a beard.
Oh, see, yeah, in that one panel, he's got a different...
That's a hilarious character.
He's got a different shirt. He's holding a cell phone instead of money.
Yeah, because it's more modern. You know, Rob Liefeld, he's okay in my book just because of that.
Yeah, he modernized it up. He's got cell phones and... Yeah. You know, even though the kid is still holding a basketball and still wearing a stripe. Yeah, okay. Anyway, okay, so there you go. Does that make up for it? Are you happy now? Have I appeased my panel?
That's better, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Anyway, so you should check out Captain Marvel. You should also check out Scarlet Spider. Okay, thank you. he punched Texas Twister and called him Tornado Guy. Come on, that's funny.
I know you talked.
Texas Twister is never funny.
It's funny to punch him. I love punching Texans. I don't know that I've ever punched a Texan, actually, now that I think about it.
So there's this book called Happy, you know.
Yeah, anyway, so Chris McFeely, I'm sorry. Tell us about your book, sir.
Yes, okay. Well, in other company news. I have decided this week to rather randomly check out the new miniseries from Grant Morrison with art by Derek Robertson from Image, Happy! It's a 4-issue miniseries. I honestly didn't read the solicit for it. I saw a new creator-owned thing from Morrison. I'm on a Morrison kick in the last year or two when I finally broke... I've described several times how I broke through that glass ceiling and finally got him as a writer... I'm kind of retroactively picking up stuff that he's done to, you know, just to check it all out. So, Happy then, I decided to grab just on the basis of the creator alone. So I didn't read anything about it. I didn't know what I was going into. So
that was the same way.
Yeah. So it took me a little while to get the book. And I will summarize the book for you now, which is that Nick Sachs, eczema-riddled ex-cop, is out to kill members of the Fratelli crime family. And he lures three of the brothers into, like, an abandoned building by hiring them to come and kill him. Like, he doesn't tell them who they are, who he is. He anonymously puts a hit out on himself in order to get the brothers all in one place at one time and then kills them all. But the last surviving brother claims that... he will give, if he lets him live, he'll give him the password to the Fratelli family bank account, like, that will make him, like, ungodly wealthy. And then, like, ironic story number two for me to report on in light of recent events, Nick Sachs has a heart attack. Just after shooting the final Fratelli brother. Mm. He collapses, and when paramedics and police arrive on the scene and take him to hospital, they manage to get to the last Fratelli brother just before he bleeds to death, and he tells them that he gave Sachs the password to the bank account. Now, we did not see that occur, so whether or not he's lying or whether or not it was, like, hidden somewhere in one of the sentences he said at some point, like, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see, but that means Sachs winds up in a mob hospital with the mob bearing down on him in order to get the password out of him.
Mm.
And this key thing that happens then does not happen until very late in the issue, but it is an intrinsic part of the premise of the miniseries. So I will have to tell you what it is now. So it is while Nick is lying in bed, you know, high on whatever assorted drugs that he is up on, a feathered unicorn, feathered cartoon unicorn, a feathered blue cartoon unicorn appears out of thin air, lands on his
stomach. It's also a Pegasus. It's a horned Pegasus.
I'm sorry, that's right. It is. It is a horned Pegasus blue cartoon, lands on his stomach, is really happy to have finally found someone who can see him at last and really needs his help to save the girl whose imaginary friend he is from trouble.
Okay, now it sounds like a Grant Morrison comic.
All right, yeah. I was like, and we have arrived.
Up to that point, I was thinking Garth Ennis. I was thinking something else. Well, but now it sounds like Grant Morrison, okay?
That is the thing, you see. If you were to pick this up with no knowledge of who it was, like, this really, really is a Garth Ennis book. I will now give you some sample dialogue from the first page. Now, JD, in editing... You might wish to get, like, a bleeper out to cover this, because...
Let's just give people warning. If you are offended by harsh language, this is harshest, the book for you.
The harshest language
wow.
coming
there is not. I think there's 5 or 6 panels in the whole comic book that does not have an offensive word in it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm talking excited. C words, F words, everything.
So the two of the three Fratelli brothers are walking along a snowy street as the story begins. How come it takes 4 guys to kill 1 lone prick? A prick? No, let me tell you something about the man we're here to kill. Nick Sachs is a cunt. A cunt. Yeah, you know, like, how some men are pussies and some are dicks or assholes? Nick Sachs is a professional cast iron cunt. There is no shit we could rain down on this evil bastard, no matter how dark or how fucked up, nothing he doesn't deserve 100 times over. And carries on here when they bump into, like, a drunken Santa, because it's Christmas time, you know. They bump Santa, and rather one of the Fratellis takes offense at this and goes, "The fuck, you about some basic fucking respect, you fucking asshole? Jesus Christ, it's Santa Claus, for fuck's sake. Wouldn't let my kids within 100 fucking miles of that pervert. Fuck shows his face in my fucking family. He dies. Say the fucking dies. You don't have a fucking chimney. Tell it the fuck down, will you? We can do without all the fucking language."
Okay, now it sounds like a Garth Ennis comic.
Yeah, yeah. But and then, you know, we are introduced to Sax when he kills a serial killer of prostitutes, who is in the middle of being serviced by a prostitute. I'm gonna, you know.
Wow.
I mean, there's no, like, explicit nudity in the comic or anything, but it's like,
you
this
get the
guy,
point.
The killer is being serviced and is about to kill her with a hammer, you know, to the back of the head, when Sax makes his appearance by shooting him, you know. It does very much feel like a Garth Ennis comic, but a comparatively, like, it's less artful than a Garth Ennis comic. Garth Ennis has a very poetic way with swearing, where every multi-lettered bomb that he drops in there lends something to the cadence of the way his characters talk or punctuates the scene or whatever. I mean, he does a lot of swearing, but it's rarely just swearing for swearing's sake. He is an artisan of swearing, whereas this is just swearity, swear, swear. Shut the fuck up and don't move. Who the fuck am I talking to? Etc.
I wish they had replaced the actual swear words with swearity, swear, swear.
That's like the How I Met Your Mother version of this.
Can I tell you how cute this little horned Pegasus is? Oh my gosh. When he's first sitting on his chest, it's the cutest thing ever.
Yeah. There you go, at last! My night, Nick. Trust me.
And of course, nobody else can see him as he's just talking to this thing that's not there, you know.
There's only one other person in the whole world who can see me, and it's you. So you and me are gonna save Haley. Put your pants on.
Wow.
Nice.
Happy the horse is the imaginary friend's name, which is where the thing comes from. But it took me a while. So that's your summary to talk about actually the way the comic is. As I say, it's comparatively unartful. When Nick has his heart attack as he is coming out of the building, it is, you know, a little something like, fuck, this ain't fucking happening. Fuck everything. Fuck it all. Fuck every last thing. Fuck the whole fucking thing. Clog, pass out. You know, that.
Wow.
But it took a while to dawn on me that this is, it's kind of a satire of a satire. It is. We've talked about it many times before. It's how Morrison loves superheroes. While he is the same kind of counterculture, like alternative creator that you will mention in the Britwave creator, that you'll mention in the same name as your Warren Ellis's, your Garth Ennis's, your Neil Gaiman's, he is different from all of them in that he legitimately loves the superhero genre and does not do the usual kind of miserable deconstruction. Oh, what if they were real people? Wouldn't the world be a terrible place? Wouldn't they be all assholes? That those creators, beg your pardon, that those creators do. So to see him do like a grim crime drama, prostitute swear filled murder fest is very strange, because all that stuff that Ennis and Ellis and guys like that do, it was a reaction. It was a satire of the superhero genre in that things like The Authority or The Boys, to name Ennis's most recent thing. You know, it's all stuff that it reacts against the levity and the simplicity and the innocence of the superhero concept. So this is Morrison taking that world, that reactionary world that goes against that, and then pumping it up to the nines, and then going back and injecting innocent, fun, ridiculousness back into that. And the result is just... Yeah. It is... I was like, what is happening? It's like Nicole says, like one of the pieces of iconography that surrounded the promotional image, and I mean, the cover is a blank white cover with Sex standing there, smoking gun in hand, bandages over his nose, Marv out of Sin City, trench coat, scarf, sort of stuff, with just a few blue feathers floating by. And of course, the whole idea is that this might just be something he's hallucinating when he's high off a million cans of drugs.
Yeah.
But as it, you know, as he comes round in the hospital, like blue feathers start to float down into his vision, and then you get the little shadowed glimpses of Happy streaking pie in the air before he lands on his stomach, and you see him clearly. And it might not be real at all; he might be imagining the entire thing. And I'm sure it'll probably be left vague at the end of it as to whether or not he was at all, or it might turn out to be entirely real because it's Mars. Yeah. Because you never know.
So it's a unicorn, right?
It's a Pegasus and a unicorn.
Like, if it doesn't end with, like, one of those, like, mob people about to shoot and kill him, and then he gets impaled by the unicorn fight Pegasus, I'll be disappointed.
I would prepare to be disappointed in that case. Oh, no, remember, this is a cartoon unicorn that's not as big as his head.
Oh, okay. Mm.
This isn't, like,
well, you can, like, gouge his eyes out or something, you know, just...
The thing is, because I didn't know anything about this, my comic book shop guy's like, you need to read this. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I'm looking at the cover, and I'm like, oh, it's Happy, and it's got blue feathers. I was thinking Bird of Happiness.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, reading through it. I'm like, damn, what? This isn't Happy at all. This is, and then I get to that part where it's revealed, and I'm like, what the hell? It looks like a blue Bugs Bunny. The ears look like Bugs Bunny ears. And I'm like, am I hallucinating now? Is that because you start to hallucinate with him? You're like, what? I can see why my comic book shop guy said I need to read this.
what you didn't know, it's a My Little Pony spinoff.
That would be awesome.
By Grant Morrison.
But this little guy is just so dang cute.
Because we know that Morrison has been talking about moving off to create our own stuff after he's finished with Action and Batman Inc. Although that was actually something that came out of Morrison Con this weekend, which is this super small convention about himself that he's holding in Las Vegas, which he did talk about Multiversity, that long promised project of his that's supposed to be happening with DC, which he swears honest to God, Governor Malud, it's happening next year, but I'll believe it when I see it, frankly. But so, I mean, if this is a taste of some of it, I'm interested, and we'll definitely be back for the rest of this miniseries to see where it goes.
I mean, it's only four issues.
Yeah, so. It's only 4-issue miniseries, and it's $3.
Yep. Hey, not bad.
Just throw that out there, $2.99.
Like yeah, I said, if you could get, if you're not offended by harsh words, it's a really good story. Yeah. But
if you are, you're going to want to keep away.
I could see some people getting turned off on it just from the first page because of the language. But if you could get past that, it's a good story.
Absolutely. It is. As I say, it took me a while to get what it was doing. You know, I had to kind of go back over it again because for like, what are you saying? Like 16? I don't remember exactly how many pages it is. It's 20, 22 pages. For say 16 of those pages, it is just like a Garth Ennis crime comic, but less artfully so. But when I say less artfully, of course, what I mean is really artfully overblown satirical version of something that was already a reactionary satire against the thing that this guy actually loves, and so on and so forth. I would recommend Happy to you this week.
Sweet.
Cool. I do too. I second it.
I almost timing surprisingly ironic.
Man, I almost picked it up too. I was like, it was there, and I was like, nah.
Go pick it up. Really, it's a good read.
You could still get it off Comixology, I bet, JD.
I'm sure I could, or I could buy the paper version from my comic shop. Which
this is another one of those scenarios where Image, once again, is proving itself a company to watch with random new number ones coming
out. You
know
what? They are putting out so... Because I'm loving Planetoid. They do Planetoid, and I'm loving that one. And, I mean, they've got some really good stuff going, and they're... So.
There's so many things that I wish I was reading that I just can't justify getting all of, but the there's one that I really kicked myself for missing after I heard about it. It's called Mind the Gap. And the trade of the first 5 issues is out.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
I think it's not this week coming. I think it's the week after next. But it's basically about a girl who is in a coma following, I think she's hit by a subway train, something like that. And it is essentially a story told primarily through the flashbacks to before the accident and the events that surround her friends and relations now as they try to figure out who pushed her and why.
Mm.
Huh.
And I've heard some very, very good things about that one. So the trade is only $10 as well for the first 5 issues.
Well, Image
has this habit of pricing their first volume trades very cheaply. It's like the Saga, first volume of Saga is out very soon, $10.
Wow.
Well, Image
That's
does Walking
steal.
Dead, don't they?
They do, and the first volume of Walking Dead, $10.
I think a lot of the first issues of Image Comics were free or are free right now. So like Saga was free and... God, a whole bunch of stuff was free.
Wow.
Manhattan Projects was free.
Yeah, first volume of Manhattan Projects just came out a week or two ago as well. So if you want to, that's not $10, surprisingly. But if you want to go check it out, I think it's because it's not $3. I think it's like if a comic is $3, the first trade will be $10, but Manhattan Projects is $3.50, so it's not
$10. That's one I got to catch up on.
Yeah, I recommend that. I mean, I've heard some very good things about Revival as well, but I don't know a lot about it. I've heard some very good
things
about it.
They do Thief of Thieves, which is another one of my favorites. I like that one, too.
Yeah.
I really kind of want to read Peter Panzerfaust as well, which is Peter Pan, but set during World War II.
Oh, wow.
World War II.
Oh, have you heard that?
Of Peter Pan. Wow. And that grabs my attention. There's just a lot of good stuff coming out of Image that I know I'm not giving... the time and dedication to that I really feel I should, but I only got so much friggin' money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, there you go. No end of the deal big, but I think we've talked about a lot of good stuff.
The end of the show book would have been Journey into Mystery, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I know we didn't mention Amazing. I'll mention it real quick where it wasn't.
Thought we would do it for the end of the show, but it's just okay.
Frankly. Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, so that was how that's getting wrapped up for now.
Yeah, it's like.
I haven't read it yet.
The last, to say the spoilers, just to say, it's like, the last 2 pages of it suddenly wrap it up.
Yeah. It was like oh, well, that's...
I was like on the third to last page, and I was like, so is there going to be a fourth part to this?
Yeah.
And then I turn the page and say, oh, well, I guess that's not there. That's dumb.
For how big they built this up, just kind of...
Really
but it seems like there's... I mean, it's seeds.
That's true. But that's it's the same as the Hobgoblin thing. It's like whenever... They posted Spider-Man get sidekick, and then the internet went, "Oh my god, I would just use Spider-Man as sidekick." And I was like, "Oh god."
How was that? I didn't catch that.
I believe it was. You know, it's like, oh, feed me with your misaimed rage. But then you read it, and it's like, Spider-Man did not in any way, shape, or fucking form get a sidekick in the course of that storyline. No. Like, that was just crafty marketing.
Yeah.
Crafty marketing, like, deliberately designed to piss people off.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Alpha's sidekick. Get it right.
Yeah.
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 It's the same with I don't, did you guys talk about Justice League number 0 last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, you
okay,
did.
Well, in fact,
you know,
I did.
I thought that was fucking brilliant. I don't know what you guys thought about
loved
it. I thought it was great. I loved it. And
God, I want a Gary Frank monthly comic, please.
Seriously, please. Why is that not a monthly? It's like, you know, if that moved out of Justice League, I would seriously consider just dropping Justice League and picking that up instead. You
yeah,
know, I've been enjoying those back up. I'm still not entirely sure about Supercut Buff Dr. Savannah, but and I thought, like, sometimes the backups are kind of dragged their heels a bit. It's obvious in retrospect that I think they've dragged their heels a bit just to tie in this 0 month thing nicely.
Yeah.
But, I love that he wanted $20 for saving that. He got $20.
That was so. That was brilliant. Like that was that. I mean, I was already enjoying it, but it so came to life, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I probably said way back when that I would have thought, because I really did think that the whole child in an adult superhero's body, like the way to do that, the way to make that meaningful is to do the whole overly moralistic, innocent worldview as a pastiche of his Golden Age origins style. That has been the way of doing Captain Marvel since, you know, for a long time now, in order to distinguish him from Superman and create a, you know, a way that just something to distinguish him from a character that he was sued for being too much like, you know. But they found a fun, really believable modern way to put a spin on the idea of the kid who suddenly winds up with, like, superpowers and who doesn't have to worry about, like, secret identities or anything. It really made me realize how much, like, a movie pitch all of these Shazam backups have been altogether. Like, yes. I would watch this film.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
yes. Oh, God, yes.
Like, why can I ever thank you? I'm a little short on cash. It was like, I got 20 bucks! It's like when he hunches over and he holds it up like an excited child. And
yeah,
like,
it was great.
Really, really came to life for me
I
with
mean,
that.
It's like Superman meets Big.
It is! It really, really is! And that's how it's like it is. They actually use their powers for evil, as it were. But
right.
You know, it's like good, but good with a certain limitation. It's
yeah.
not like the classic fiction of the character where they do it like he has just a very simplistic black and white worldview as a child. It's a slightly older Billy, and this is what I'm talking about, like where you do things that immediately are. I really believe now at this point that our initial introduction to Billy as a little douchebag was intended to shock us. And probably to annoy traditionalists, only
yeah.
to then progressively reveal in the course of the backup that he's really not that bad of a kid. He's just been dealt a bad hand, and he's really got goodness inside of him as well.
Well, and that's what made that point so great when you get to that point where, you know, he's even in front of the wizard, and he's like, look,
people
nobody.
Like that don't exist. Yeah.
The person you're looking for isn't real, you know.
Yeah.
I would watch this film. You know,
yeah.
This
oh, God,
good.
Yes. They
yeah.
made us a Captain Marvel Shazam movie. I would love the
oh,
shit out of
man.
It.
And they find a way
DC,
to bring
get
the Adam into it out of the gate without it feeling like a really forced, like just a way to get the opposite type character in there. And it's a good, I mean, as I'm still not really sure about Giganto Buff Savannah, but it's a good use of Savannah as well. And you get the, I mean, I really like, it's just little things. Like, I really enjoy the reinterpretation of the Sins instead of the big goofy cartoon statues, the magic projections. And now I'm wondering, like, are the seven deadly enemies of man, the seven sins, are they what came out of the box when Pandora opened it? Is that how that's going to tie together?
Ooh,
maybe.
That's a
yeah.
good thought.
Yeah,
yeah and I'm really into this shit right now with Shazam, and I was like, it really deserves its own comic.
I think
yeah,
it's awesome we started
now.
Shitting on DC,
can we,
and now we're like, DC, you're awesome!
Can we talk them into it?
When they're doing something right, let's, you know, stand
well,
up and say when they're doing something
and that's,
right.
And that's the deal. It's like, they've got inevitably canceled series like Team 7 that
sure.
they're coming out with. It's like, why are they not doing Shazam?
I don't know.
And they're doing Team 7, which is destined to be canceled. There is no way that book is going to last. No way. I read the 0 issue. Awful.
Well, it couldn't possibly have been as awful as Phantom Stranger.
Well, they were different. They were awful for different reasons.
Yeah, but Phantom Stranger was like morally awful. Well, Team 7 was just very rote, right by the numbers.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway, Team 7's going to be canceled, and Phantom Stranger will be around until the event, maybe, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they probably have to keep him around for his role in the whole Trinity thing.
It'll be a gateway to Trinity, and then it'll be done.
I mean, Don Didio was writing it, though, so...
How long can he really keep that
up? To be fair, Omak didn't last, and he was writing it, so that's no guarantee.
I still don't understand. Why does Phantom Stranger get a book, and there's not a question book?
Well, that's in the next
set. They all read the backup in Justice League.
Yeah, that was in the backup there. I mean,
they've held off on him to see what happens there.
I'm just kind of surprised. It seemed like
he's been the most ambiguous. I don't know. I mean, the question has been, because it's like... We're still not really sure who... I mean, they've made it painfully clear who Phantom Stranger is, and there's no... I mean, it's like, they didn't even try to hide who Pandora is. I mean, Pandora is Pandora. But, you know, the question... Maybe that's kind of the irony, I guess, in a way. It's like, it's been a little mysterious as to which historical sort of figure he's supposed to be, but...
If he is one.
If he is one, maybe he's not. I don't know, you know. So, interesting. No, yeah. Justice League was very good. I talked about that last week. So, yeah, if you haven't picked up that Zero issue, you should, because I haven't even been reading Justice League and really enjoyed it.
You really, that was the thing as well. Is like I read a review on CBR where the reviewer didn't seem to realize that the issue was a continuation of the Shazam backups, and he was criticizing it for showing and not telling, and how the backstory of Billy Batson was only covered in, like, memory flashes. And I'm like, dude, this is a series. This is not a one-shot issue. But regardless of that fact, you really can't pretty much just pick up that Zero issue. And
read I read – well, I read the first – I read the first backup for Shazam that was in Justice League when I was still reading Justice League. And this. And I've read nothing else in between, and I totally picked it up and went with it. It was great. I mean, it was just – you could totally get everything that you needed from the story, you know. So, at least for the parts that you needed. Especially if you, I think it probably helped that I did see that first issue where he was a bit of a prick, you know.
Yeah.
And it helped lead into that point, but, I mean, otherwise it was really good, so.
We want this, DC. Make it.
Make it a book. No more of this, no more of this Team 7 bullshit.
I have to assume that there is a reason it is not a book.
Cancel Team 7.
I don't know what it is.
What are some?
They cancel Teen Titans. Cancel Superboy. Cancel Grifter.
Superboy.
Cancel
Grifter.
I'll buy this book.
Yeah, there's we need to come out with our axe list for the next cut. That'll be up in about what?
They're all
months.
A little less obvious now.
Yeah, but I think we could do it. You did pretty good on that last run. So. So we'll see. We'll have to do an axe list. We are also getting close to the end of the year too.
We are, you know.
So
it'll What's be our that best mean? Of.
It'll be our best of.
No way!
Oh my god!
It's the end of the year.
My favorite single issue has been the same one since it came out.
I have to.
Which one was that again? A Turtles one?
Probably. Splinter so far.
I'm going to ban you from buying Turtles for like a
Splinter shut made up. Me cry. That issue made me bawl like a baby.
2 months.
So good.
Like ban on talking about Turtles.
I can't do it, man.
On the show.
That's like telling Triplet he can't talk Spider-Man.
I'm going to do that too.
What the hell? What is this bullshit?
I'm trying off this. The only other good thing that I read that I wanted to talk about was what McFeely talked about.
I'll put a ban in. Triplet can't talk about Spider-Man.
You get an all Dan Ketch show if you're doing that.
Oh, God.
Find something new with Dan Ketch in it and we'll talk.
Yeah. Ah! Thank you, Chris McFeely! Rah!
That means you can't talk Scarlet Spider then.
Whatever. What was the. This
what are you
is
guys
my show.
Gonna stop me from talking about then? I don't have one thing.
I know, that's what I say. It's like, you're fine, you're balanced, you're good. But what was the last thing Dan Ketch was in there, Chris Triplet?
He was in Ghost Rider.
Oh, by Scarlet Spider. All right.
If you don't, no one else will.
No, people are buying it. Even my shopkeep was like, it's really a good book. I'm like, I said so. No one listens to me. All right, so there you go. That's it. Fanboy Versus for this week. 119 episodes that we've done.
Wow.
Of this show. I know. It's crazy. I don't track by the chronological year. I just like to watch that episode number just tick right up. That's great.
Who would be bothered with that? Why would you say you had year 2, episode 5?
I don't know. Why would we say that RFC has been around for like 13 years? But
exactly.
Minus. Like, it's like asterisk minus 8 years.
And ours is truthful. But.
Yeah, ours is, I mean, you know, the number. It's like, there you go. You got the number.
That's pure truth, though.
Yeah. Even Superhero Time, they don't really track anything. They just keep doing episodes. He tracked it enough that he knew where the 100th episode was, but it's not like that gets mentioned, you know, even week to week or anything.
You need to put it up and say that this is the episode about your mama jokes.
Yeah. Pretty much. Since I've joined the show, that has narrowed down quite a bit because I usually talk about various forms of excrement or ejaculate. So that show is taking a turn. But anyway, we did have like some ratings come out, and it does turn out that Superhero Time is slightly higher listener than our show.
Well, you know, like so many people just watch all these Kamen Rider things, and you know, it's like. People are dumb, and that's
just... You heard it here.
Wow.
That is a far less polite version of what I came up with as my explanation. My explanation was that there aren't that many toku podcasts, but there are a shit ton of comic book podcasts.
You're pretty fucking dumb to want to listen to one of those. So, you know, that's why there's so many people. Okay, don't send me hate mail on this thing.
Yeah, because it's totally dumb to like Japanese stuff and toys and things. Yeah.
Send hate mail to JD Church.
Yeah. direct all of your hate mail at Brian Kilby. bkilby at tfradio.net.
So, yeah.
But anyway.
I thought you were going to mention someone else, but.
That would have been fun as well. send it to the nerd sphere. Anyway, what time you do with it? Anyway, we were just
in the nerd sphere. I want to just point out as well that it happened. I didn't draw attention to it when it happened, but the guys at the old oil house posted the Iacon 201 that I did with them at Auto Assembly a while back.
Ooh!
So I know it's like I know I'm so like shy and reserved, and like you would never hear me bitch about stuff I don't like. Well, finally, guys, I'm gonna cut loose. And talk about some stuff I don't like. So go check that out.
Yeah.
I checked it out. It's awesome.
I have to see that soon.
I'm glad they got it up.
Awesome. All right. Well, on that note, we are going to get out of here. So please tell your friends about our show because we can't just let it go on that more
tell
people...
Tell your friends about
be
our show.
Behind the Power Rangers.
We can't be behind the Toku podcast. Seriously. I mean, I'm on that show and all.
It lends it legitimacy.
I'm torn because I am on that show, but I host this show, so I want this show to be better. Because I shit you not, those numbers came out, and last week I was on the show, and I waited for it, because in the middle of the show, fucking XV is like, yeah, you know, more people listen to our show than JD. And I'm like,
are you kidding me?
Did you kill his feed, like, immediately? Like, boom, XV is gone.
Whatever. No. But yeah. So anyway, we've got to beat him. So tell your friends about this show. When you're in the shop, say, hey, have you listened to Fanboy Versus? You go to fanboyversus.com, or you can follow them on Twitter at FanboyVS.
Hey, we have celebrities listening to us.
We have comic book celebrities that listen to the show.
Yeah, that's right. You don't get no
yeah.
tokens.
Yeah.
Those hi to don't Alex exist. Milne, who's listening to us right now. Hi,
yeah.
Alex.
Thanks.
Hi, Alex.
How you doing? Sweet. We haven't had someone on the show in a while. We should do that again.
Yeah.
Some sort of creator, but yeah, and I think we've had
Dan Juergens
mm-hmm.
and Gil Simone listens and
yep.
James Roberts listens, and I'll bet like that. What do they got? The guy that played Bulk or something?
Yeah, yeah, or nobody. I don't think I've ever interviewed anybody
That's actually
on that
worse.
Show. So see. Tell your friends about our show, because we can't be, you know, have less listeners than Superhero Time. So, anyway, thanks so much for tuning in.
The RFC battle.
Yes, between the sub shows, because of course, you know, Radio Free Cybertron has like twice whatever we have. So, I don't think it's that bad. But anyway, it's they, of course they have more, but hey, it's the older show, flagship thing, whatever. So, all right. Anyway, thank you again, all of you, for tuning in, and please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus.
This has been Fanboy Versus. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.